numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay back in the fold today, producer number 5 and 8, Grover Cleveland producers. Jeff, you good? Wedding season. 4 weddings in the bank.
Yeah, that was a great trip that we just had,
including your own wedding still on the horizon.
Yeah, that's we're getting closer.
Still in the plans.
We're getting closer. So
they said it wouldn't last, Jeff. They said it wouldn't last.
Making through, Gil.
Nobody said that, but they just said it. Ladies and gentlemen,
ladies
and gentlemen, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, it's base winner Mark Borchardt. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing good. How are you, man?
I'm good. I have some season-long stuff that I want to talk to you about, yes, no's for the playoffs that I sent you, finishing 1-2 in divisions. But I want to start with today, because we usually wait to the end, and sometimes you get sort of truncated on what you talk about. I don't know if you have a play on this big game tonight, but I want to start with your thoughts on the Astros and the White Sox. And it is Justin Verlander and Dylan Cease. The two pitchers that rank first and second, Verlander being first, Cease being second, in the American League in ERA. Verlander 1.85, Cease 1.96. And according to Elias, the Elias Sports Bureau, it's just the third matchup of starting pitchers with sub 2.00 ERAs with a minimum of 20 starts since Major League Baseball lowered the mound back in 1969. So this is pretty historic tonight, even before we get on the field. The total is at 7. The Astros are short favorites. Do you have a play? And if not, what are your thoughts here?
Gil, I personally don't have a play, but why are we still using ERA? No, I'm just teasing.
I know.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, Elias, it's one measure, but you and I don't typically care about it. Yes.
So kind of the way I see this game from a model standpoint, I've got the White Sox at -110. So that would indicate maybe a slight lean to the White Sox. But one thing about Verlander is I don't think my ratings give him enough credit. I use strikeout percentage, walk percentage, and ground ball rate, where his base winner ERA is only 35th out of 150 pitchers. So one thing that doesn't take into account for is how he's able to suppress power, ISO power, and home runs and hits as well. So I don't think that metric gives him enough credit. I also have him with a location plus number, and I'm finding some real utility with this particular metric, and you can get it at The Athletic. It's called the location plus metric. And Verlander's in the 95th percentile of starters, where Cease is only in the 24th percentile. So I think that there's some torn between two models type situation, Gil. And yeah. So that for those reasons, I'm not going to play it. The under looks somewhat appealing, but it's priced right. I've got it, 7 runs, and it's going to be a good game, though. I think it'll be enjoyable to view.
Torn between two models. I believe that was a hit back in the day, wasn't it?
That was. And that's kind of, sometimes you get like that when you're handicapping, whatever sport it is.
AL Cy Young. What's the best bet on the board? Speaking of those two guys.
Well, my numbers really like Ohtani, but I mean, it's just like, it's so out of favor with the public, and they like Verlander. But I mean, if you're just looking at strikeouts and walk percentage, it has to be Ohtani. You know, he threw 6 straight double-digit strikeout games, and Ray didn't do that. And you know what? As much as I love Robbie Ray, he didn't do that last year, and he won the Cy Young. So in my mind, it's Ohtani. I know I'm kind of in the minority there, Gil.
No, it's a fascinating subject, right? Because it's, I don't know if I said this yesterday or Friday. I think it was yesterday, where I was like, okay, so what we're saying is, if Ohtani gets to 35 homers, he needs like 9 more. He gets a 35 homers, just going to throw out a number, and he's well on his way to 200 strikeouts. Like, we're legitimately, now I'm going to MVP, right? We're legitimately fatigued, because that's the word that people are throwing around. Like, seriously, after 1 year, we're fatigued. A guy who could hit 35 homers at the plate and strike out 200 batters on the mound, literally like 3 seasons ago, before 3 seasons ago, I was hypothetically right ahead of the Ohtani curve, saying things like, if this guy hits, 20 homers and has a 3.7 ERA, shouldn't he be the MVP? Like, literally was saying that on air. And now we've come all the way to a dude, he could hit 35 homers and strike out 200 batters, and he's like not in favor, to use your expression. It's so ridiculous. That is to take nothing away from Aaron Judge, who has been spectacular, right? So, like, no one's going to cry if Aaron Judge wins MVP. But I'm just saying that's how ridiculous that logic is.
Well, they better get used to it because he's going to be around for a while, barring injury. I mean, I can't see that as a legitimate argument to not give him an award. It's just dumb. But that's just my opinion.
What did you bet today? What do you have?
You know, I'm going to go with the Padres. I think that, you know, Manea's been kind of up and down this year, but if you look at the location, he's a lot better than Cabrera. Cabrera's at a 0.6 BBK, and the Padres, the way they've assembled this team, you know, their plate discipline's number one in baseball, and I think that's going to be really important facing Cabrera here. So I'm going to go with the Padres. I'll lay a little bit of sauce, minus 147, and then I'm going to go with the Braves, too. I like Morton a lot better than Walker. Walker, to me, still needs to prove himself. I think his median is below average from a run suppression standpoint, or above average in a bad way. And I've got Atlanta price at like minus 197 here. I also like the Giants tonight. I'm going to go with the Giants. My model has it priced at minus 140. So those are kind of the three sides that I like today.
Yeah. What is it? I got a tweet this morning. Somebody made some futures bet on the Giants. Somewhere, I don't know. People were joking. Was that Gil making the bet? It wasn't me. But it was.
And he has a show called The Numbers Game, which
that's
he hosts.
Right. That's the guy who did it. This was the bet was on the Giants. This is tweeted out by I don't know points. Oh well, he's I won't say his handle. But he says one bettor at Circa yesterday wagered $1,000 on the Giants to win the NL pennant at 500-1. That would win $500,000. Giants currently six games back in the wild card. So, yeah.
Well, I've got them with a 14.6 chance to get into that wild card game, Gil. So plus 583, and I think that they were like plus 700. You sent me some of the odds this morning.
Yes.
So I think that that's still a decent play to make the playoffs. That you're getting value with it.
So let's get to those. But again, your plays for today are what again? Padres and Giants, and what was the other?
Padres, Giants, and what was the other? Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, per your numbers, like, the absence of Tatis versus getting him back in the Padres lineup, quantify that if you could for us. Like, what's the hit that they take hypothetically on that?
I would say it's about a game and a half, just from a number standpoint.
Okay.
I don't think it's that much.
Okay, that's why I ask. All right, let's get to those things that I sent you. And rather than going through them team by team, let's start with the yes-no playoffs. What were your favorite of all the teams in contention, right? We're not talking about the Royals here or anything. But of all the teams that are listed at shops like DraftKings that are in contention, what was your favorite numbers now, either to the yes or to the no on any of these clubs?
I didn't really get a chance to look at it. Sorry. So maybe you could put a couple out there for me.
Right.
I can tell you what percentages are.
Well, as a matter of fact, I will. Text Mark Borchard, doesn't look at him. Still mad.
I did, but I can't. I couldn't memorize him.
Still mad at me for being on the phone all night that night we went to dinner. let's go to the Orioles, baby. Yes, plus 450 to make the playoffs.
I only have them with a 4% chance.
You hate the Orioles.
Yeah.
What does your numbers not like about the Orioles?
Well, they're starting pitching, their bullpen's kind of average, and their hitting's a little bit below average.
Other
than that, they're great. Yeah.
Well,
plus they play in that division. That division's tough. It's a hard division to play in.
I want to revisit this in 3 weeks. Mark, what's your numbers on the Orioles now?
4%.
I was going to say. All right. How about the Cardinals, who traditionally your numbers hate? But the Cardinals right now are yes at minus 320 to make the playoffs. And remember, with a team like the Cardinals, they can get in two different ways, right? That's the rub. Currently a two-game lead on the Brewers, but if they sink below that, they're also right on the cusp of a wild card, though they'd be on
what's,
the outside.
What's, right the, what's the plus side on that, Gil?
Ah, the plus side. The no, in other words, plus 250.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I've got them with a 49%. 49.7% chance to win the division, 16.3 to get into the wild card. So it's like 66%, which would be like -194. So yeah, the plus 250 would be good.
All right. And the Giants, price. Yes, was 7-1. What did you say? 14% chance?
Yeah. 14.6, so 583. So there's value there with the Giants.
All right. How about the White Sox? This is close to a coin flip. The yes is a bit of a favorite at -150. The White Sox, perennially hyped, it seems, preseason. They are 4 games above 500 now. They are 2 games, along with the Twins, 2 games behind the Guardians in the AL Central, but on the outside looking in when it comes to a wild card position. But there's 2 ways for them to get in.
So, right, I have them 35.6% chance to win the division. I actually like Cleveland, 46.9%. That's kind of who I like to win that division as of this date. But the White Sox, 35.6% to win division, 21% exactly to win the wild card. So, or to get in by the wild card rather. So 56.6, which would put it at about like -130. So I don't think there's value on either side there, Gil.
All right, and the Phillies no was +265. I'm just trying to think of a juicy one. Like, what team do you not like? Mariners +390.
+265. So I have 67% chance to get in. So that would be -203, two odds on the yes. So yeah, the no is good there, +265. And then what you said, the Seattle
no is +390.
Oh, Seattle's 89% chance to, 89% chance to win the wild card, 1% chance to win the division. So 90% chance would give, it should be -900, yes.
It's amazing how tight this is, right? Like they're the number one wild card team right at this moment, but they are, 3 games from being bounced entirely. Mark, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Gil. Thanks.
Coming back, more NFL props on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Visa College Football Guide is out now, and our NFL Guide drops next week. Our experts provide profiles of every team with team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special and get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription. And bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeffrey, the other thing I was thinking about with this Tom Brady stuff, because we talked about how there has been no shortage of bets that we've hit here on this show this year, which is awesome, right? Ole Miss, College World Series, Warriors to win the NBA title, Paolo Banchero going #1. I mean, Iga, 3 different titles. All of these things are awesome. Some of those more awesome than others. You know which one I forget about? Remember when we were on air, you and me, and we were betting Tom Brady to announce his retirement? And we just kept banging it? It was like +455, +390, +335, +275. We did like 4 times, and we cashed the bet. Now think about how many turns that has taken since then. It's amazing. First of all, he comes out of retirement. We still got paid because he announced it. Can't take money out of our accounts. But the people who went against that had to be, angry about it because they're like, oh, he's playing even though he announced it. But now in the end, who knows what we're seeing? We don't know. We know nothing. What do you think? What's your gut telling you right now?
Oh, he plays.
Does he play week 1?
Yeah, I do think so.
You think it's all...
Well, if I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on for a second.
I'm asking you to do so.
What's on Sunday Night Football week 1?
There you go.
The Bucs and the Cowboys. Do you think the league will be happy if Tom Brady does not play and we are stuck watching Blaine Gabbert?
Does the league have anything else to worry about these days that I don't know?
I think that will be, it's kind of like the Stafford thing on Thursday Night Football where I'll put the tinfoil hat on again, where if Matthew Stafford is able to play, Matthew Stafford's going to play. We're not going to be stuck watching John Wolford in week 1.
still a little more sports talk radio here, but this has betting implications too. Like, so if I'm asking you to put your tinfoil hat on about Deshaun, what do you think happens here? By the way, the reason that this is delayed again on Deshaun Watson is because they are trying to see if Deshaun Watson's camp. I love that. Do you have a camp, Jeff? You'll know you've made it when you have a camp. Deshaun Watson's camp. Can they settle with the NFL? Can they come to some agreement on a number of games? And what we know or what we believe to be the case based on reports is that Watson is willing to accept an 8-game suspension, last we heard reported, and the NFL wants to go full throttle, full season, if not full calendar year, we're hearing, right? Depends on the terminology. So I guess what we're left with is that they can't agree on 12. Is that essentially what the takeaway from all that? Watson, the NFL and Watson can't come to terms on a compromise.
Well, you know, you're in a weird. The whole thing has been ridiculous from the get-go.
Yeah.
But if you're Watson's camp, why would you compromise at this point with what former Judge Robinson came down with the 6?
So just wait for the year and then sue.
I would. Yes, that's probably because
that's what's going to happen at this point.
But again, does that mean Deshaun Watson plays week one?
No, because
the 6-game thing is decided.
The 6 games, because they didn't appeal, because they said in advance, whatever Sue Robinson says, we're not appealing this, and they held true to that. By not appealing, that is your tacit acceptance of the first 6 games, as I understand it. And by the way, as I understand it is a very weak phrase for me on this. But as best I understand it, that's the story, that he is definitely not playing the first 6 weeks of the season. And again, remember, the schedule really favors the Browns those first 4 weeks anyway. They get it really super easy at the beginning. So whether that's Jacoby Brissett or whoever, Jacoby Brissett, by the way, first on the depth chart now if you're scoring at home for the Cleveland Browns. But apparently that's, you know, and that's why I thought the NFL should have taken the stance and just been like, okay, 6, just let's move on. But no, now it's going to be protracted. Now it's going to be a year because, again, their reaction to being, this is all because they sucked at disciplining domestic issues in the past, right? Botched Ray Rice, botched Josh Brown before that. I would even argue botched Ezekiel Elliott, right? They overcompensated on Ezekiel Elliott. But here we are. So we'll see. This is still all from that. And listen, I get it, but on the other hand, now it's going to be protracted.
I also think the suspension length for Trevor Bauer also is playing a role here.
Trevor Bauer, 2 years. We brought that up as well. All right, what do you have here, sir? Betting-wise, what do you got?
Okay, so how about we see this in college football now where we see conference win totals.
Oh, I like this.
So now we're seeing division win totals in the National Football League. We'll start in the AFC East. By the way, AFC North number's not in existence right now.
I was going to say, like, immediately I thought to myself, what's the Colts? Is it 5.5?
We'll get to Indy in a second. Okay. But the AFC North, just throwing it out there, non-existent.
Okay.
Start with the AFC East here, and without a shock, the Buffalo Bills have the biggest number at 4.5. Now, Gil, I thought the juice was wrong here. Seeing a plus number on Buffalo to win 5 games in division, in a division where they are clearly much better than the other 3 teams. Now, the big concern would be obviously week 18. Does Buffalo need the game against New England?
Well, that's what it is.
That's the big concern. Are they 5-0 before week 18?
You hit on that week 18 game is precisely why this is priced as it is. Because you got to assume one loss in 5, right? Whether it's an at Miami, an at New England, whatever it is, let's assume one loss. But that what's the last game at New England?
No, it's a home game against New England.
Right. So at New England or at Miami before that, let's assume 1-5. You know what they say about assuming. But that Week 18 game, if they're as good as the markets project them to be and as prognosticators project them to be, then they won't have anything to play for because they may very well just be the number one seed or have their seed fixed. So why bother? So I don't know that price is actually that off.
I don't see them losing a division game before Week 18.
Dude, you know how these things go.
I know.
You remember how
they could lose the game in Miami week.
This was not a division game last week, but remember how I lost Survivor last week? Jacksonville 9, Buffalo 6. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Yeah, yes, the most perplexing result of the entire season. But I just don't see it. The other three teams, the numbers feel right.
Yeah, I can't bet those.
Miami being flat on both sides for 3, that's right. New England 3 with heavy juice on the under makes sense. The Jets with the under being a slight favorite of 2 makes sense.
Well, that's how I was going to ask you. Where do you stand on your Jets? Well, I just got my answer.
No, I 2-4 in the division, 1-5 in the division feels right.
They're just going to be the Jets.
They're just probably, I think they'll win the home games against Miami and New England and go 2-4 in division.
That's I love that DraftKings puts these up, though. Good, creative bets here. Because as you said, we've had these for college, per conference, but not per division in the NFL. What's next here? What division? There we go. This is what I'm looking for. Wait a minute. Hold everything. The Colts are 3.5 over minus 180? 3.5?
Yes.
I mean, I get the juice. Don't get me wrong. But I would lay that juice in a heartbeat. So you mean to tell me that between the Titans, Jaguars, and Texans, they're not going to go 4-2? I would take the over here in a heartbeat.
You know, this was another, these divisions, at least the AFC South was the one where the numbers were a little bit weird to me. I agree with you. I think that should have been a 4.
It should have been 4.5 minimum. Here's the thing. I get it. We live in our little, we have to fill content every day, right? 5 days a week. And so we hear, oh, I'm so bullish on the Jaguars. You know, people are like, oh, Jaguars, they're the best bet on the board. Yeah. You know what? Slow down, everybody.
The one thing that I will say is the first 2 games of the year, so Matt Ryan's first 2 games playing real games in this system are the road games against the bad teams in this division. At Houston, at Jacksonville, we know their history in Jacksonville. They haven't won there in 8 years, despite the Jaguars being awful for most of that period. That would be the only concern, that they trip up one of those 2 games and then have to basically be perfect the rest of the way. But here's the other thing. I think they're sweeping Tennessee. So I don't even think it matters if they lose to Houston week 1 or Jacksonville week 2.
They only got to go 4-2. I like that bet.
The other one is I don't say I'm ridiculous here. I actually would consider betting Houston over 2. I think push is worst case scenario there. I think they're beating Tennessee once. They're beating Jacksonville at least once, and it won't shock me if they pull the stunner week 1.
This is my only response. I'm not going to tell you you're ridiculous. My response to you would be this. Do you really want to live through that bet?
That's a very valid question.
just from a lifestyle, mental standpoint, do you really want to live through that bet?
I think I'm with Aaron Schatz, though, on Houston. Like, they won't be good, but they will win a few games they're probably not supposed to this year.
Hey, it's the NFL. I'm sure you're right about that. Some bets I just don't want to have. Coming back with Adam Burke making an appearance on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit Visa.com to check the current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving every game, the betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that Visa is here to make you a smarter, better year round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. It's Gil Alexander. Look who just walked in the door. That's the beauty of doing a show here at the South Point on the tip of the strip. It's the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day, Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast, and of course, Daily Wager. Chris Felica. How you doing, man? You good?
Just met up with Dave Sharapan out there before the show.
Yeah, he's hanging out down there.
Met him for the first time. He sent me a text last night after the saw I was here for Daily Wager and wanted to meet up last night, and I was like, I'm going to be toes up pretty early tonight. I'm still a little beat off of the late arrival the other night. And he's like, I told him I'm coming to do the show. He's like, I'll meet you tomorrow morning. Great chatting with him.
Just bad news. We saw coming over the crawl. But if you had any thoughts, Pete Carril, the old Princeton coach, dies at age 92.
Yeah, should have been the first 16 to beat a 1. Nearly was with that great Georgetown Princeton game. When I saw Alan Boston, who is obviously a basketball junkie, Ivy Leaguer as well, like had very nice series of tweets about Pete Carril and what he meant to his life and growing up as a student as well. So if you follow Alan Boston or check out his tweets on that, Really nice stuff.
1989, 16-1 seed. I was a huge, you know, Georgetown kid.
Alonzo Mourning, was it a foul?
Was it a foul? Was it a foul on that last play? Who was the best player on Princeton that day? Do you remember his name? George Leftwich.
Yes.
All right. Hang out with us. We're going to talk to Chris here momentarily. Adam Burke joins us. One of the toughest gets. Jeff, would you say toughest get on this show is getting Adam Burke on the show? Where would you rank him?
I think the Bird actually was the toughest get.
Who was?
Ian Eagle.
Oh,
well, we got him.
Ian Iagla. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Burke, who does it all here, the greatest baseball writer, betting-wise, that you will ever find, and also does a whole bunch of college football as well, and a Cleveland Guardians fan, by the way, joins us. How you doing, Adam?
You know what? I've actually been better because through the first 3 months of the baseball season, I was up 16 units, and since the start of July, I'm down 16 units. Ooh. So I guess that's just the MLB roller coaster ride embodiment of my season, I guess.
Adam, I believe that's called baseball. Yeah.
Yes.
It is tough. Well, let me ask you about your Guardians. How do you feel about them getting to the postseason? Obviously, heavily contested all year long. 2-game lead right now over both the Twins and the White Sox. Would you bet them yes, no? Would you bet them yes to make the playoffs? Would you bet them to win the division?
Well, I think it's kind of tough. I mean, from a fan standpoint, I've had my heart ripped out many times as a Cleveland fan. So I'm kind of jaded in that respect, just sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop with a team that, frankly, I don't think is all that good, but I also don't think the Twins are very good, and the White Sox have underperformed all season long. So somebody's going to have to win this division, and perhaps it will be Cleveland, but I wouldn't make that bet. I still, for whatever reason, maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know. That's certainly a possibility, but for whatever reason, I feel like the White Sox still find a way to get this thing done. I mean, they're still the most talented of those three teams, I think. They have maybe the best bullpen. They definitely have the best rotation, at least on paper. And offensively, they're still pretty talented, even without Tim Anderson. So for whatever reason, I think Chicago still does it. But again, I think it's hard to put your money on the White Sox right now. And I already did that at the All-Star break anyway.
Yeah, it's worth noting what you just said there, what you alluded to. There's still more than a quarter of a baseball season to go, right? Like, it's interminable. The season still has enough runway where even some outlandish, like, I'm just thinking about all the awards that are out there. Is there one where you think somebody totally off the radar could still win?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, you know, obviously, if we could talk about injury and the possibility of that, that's certainly a concern. But, you know, I mean, look, I kind of talked about Dylan Cease at 25-1 to win the AL Cy Young when he was coming up on a really, really weak second half schedule. And now he finds himself, of course, as the second favorite. It'll be interesting to see what happens today in that matchup against Justin Verlander. But I will say, you know, just kind of given the player sample size that we have now, it would take a really significant slump for somebody to fall out of one of the top two spots and a really significant, you know, Paul Goldschmidt-esque run for somebody to make a move up the odds board. So I don't necessarily think that that'll be a possibility, except for maybe something like the Rookie of the Year, where perhaps, you know, in the American League, that could kind of swing a little bit. But other than that, I don't think anybody comes from too far off the pace now.
Do you mind if we have Chris jump in here? What was your Dylan Cease take? What is your take on this?
I just don't get the price difference between Dylan Cease and Shohei Ohtani in terms of the second choice in the AL Cy Young market. Like, I actually wrote some numbers down. If you look at Ohtani and Cease, Ohtani 12.7 Ks per 9, Cease 12.2, WHIP Ohtani 1.06, 1.14, strikeout to walk ratio 6-1 for Ohtani, 3.2 for Cease. Opponent slugging percentage 2.265 for Ohtani, 306 for Cease. Now, Cease does have a better ERA, and his team is obviously in the playoff contention, and Ohtani is not. But it's like, I don't understand how Cease is the second choice at 2-1, and Ohtani somewhere around 25-1. That I don't get. I'm not saying that Ohtani should win,
right?
But how is there such a massive difference in the market?
Yeah, there. I mean, listen. Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
I mean, look, it's a fair question. I mean, also, I mean, Dylan Cease hasn't allowed more than one earned run since May 24th in a start. So, you know, a lot of times these things are kind of, you know, there's a lot of recency bias to them, as we know. But, I mean, this is a historical note for Dylan Cease that voters can kind of latch onto. Obviously, you know, Shohei is a daily historical note that they can latch onto. But I think just the fact that Cease, he hasn't given up more than a run in a start since June 9th. So, I think it's just kind of one of those things where you get some recency bias that kind of leaks in, where he's doing something that we really haven't seen since what, Jake Arrieta in the second half of, what was that, the 2016 season?
Was it 2015 or 2016? Yeah, one of those
seasons. It was 15.
Yeah, the great 2015 season of Jake Arrieta. Did you have any baseball plays for today, Adam? Did you make any plays?
Still looking through the card for right now, but I think something that's kind of interesting here is that, you know, and I know that you're an ardent market watcher in a lot of sports where a lot of underdog money has been coming in here of late on the Major League Baseball board, where I think a lot of the modeling crowd just sort of sees a lot of these favorites as being overpriced right now. You know, they feel like there's some value on the dog, and it's very hard to bet a lot of these underdogs right now, especially with kind of the big difference between the teams that are really good and the teams that are really bad. But one that I am kind of looking at here a little bit, I think J.P. Sears for the Oakland A's is a really good pitcher. And he's a guy I would definitely want to back more at home as opposed to on the road. But taking on a Texas team that has not hit right-handed pitching all season long, they've done well against lefties. And I think that's why we get Sears here, as a little bit of an underdog in this game. Obviously, a strange situation for Texas, firing Chris Woodward yesterday. They won 2-1 yesterday. In a game where Glenn Otto walked six guys, only struck out one, gave up a home run to the number nine hitter who's batting like 220, and they still found a way to win the game 2-1. So I think when the Rangers win, it's kind of just a fortunate occurrence more than anything else. Hmm. So I do think Oakland is pretty live here today.
All right, Athletics plus 110, the number we're showing on the screen. All right, Adam, I always talk about how you write the greatest baseball stuff that I've ever read, and I really sincerely mean this. But you're not a one-trick pony. You write about other things, college football being perhaps chief among the others. You did something really interesting here that people can access, I believe, at VSiN.com, which is helping people with college football power rankings. Is that the case?
Yeah, so this is actually a free piece over at VSiN.com, and I'm happy that it is, and I'll be doing a weekly update of my power ratings as the season goes along here. But it's a very basic set. I mean, I know people, you know, people like Brad Powers, they have 10 different spreadsheets full of power ratings. I only have one, but it's something that kind of gives you a guide. It gives you an idea of, you know, where a line should be in your mind. Then you can compare it to the market number. And it also, having a set of power ratings keeps you grounded, right? You know, you can go through, look at games of the year. You can look at season win totals and all of that, kind of get a feel for where these teams should be. And I grade the position groups. I grade them relative to their conference strength and relative to their national strength and wind up coming up with a power rating on the teams where, look, 30% of my power rating is the offensive and defensive lines. 60% of my power rating is the two lines, the quarterback and the coaching. So that's what I do to kind of get my thoughts together on these teams and then produce my own lines for every game. Usually do that before the games actually get played for the previous week, just so that I can kind of see where my numbers should be. Prevents me from overreacting to what we see because college football can be very high variance. I mean, there's 131 teams, big talent gaps between the teams, turnover margins can have a big impact, stuff like that. So it keeps me grounded. It keeps me from overreacting to one data point. And it's been something that I've used for a long period of time, trying to get out in front of some numbers, just trying to sort of see where I'm different from the market. And it's something I think anybody can do if they pick up the preseason magazines and kind of start grading these position groups, looking at their stats, looking at their personnel, the transfer portal, all of that.
All right, we have 30 seconds. What's your favorite season-long college football bet that you made?
Favorite season win total bet I've made here so far is Air Force over. I think Air Force should be favored in all 12 of their games. I think they're a really, really good team. I like their season win total over. I think it's 8.5 still out there in the market. I have them for 9.93 wins this season.
Okay. Adam, we appreciate it, man. Great seeing you. Great talking
to you.
Absolutely.
Take care, Gil.
Adam Burke, everybody, at Skating Tripods. Just celebrated an anniversary. Happy anniversary to Adam and his lovely wife. You like Air Force over?
I do. I think there are a lot of haves and have-nots in the Mountain West. The bottom of the Mountain West
could
be really bad, so I think you pick up a lot of gimme wins there.
That was who did I have on that was just pounding on the
Bud Elliott,
he was just pounding on the bottom of the Mountain West. That's exactly right. Chris Velik is in studio. We'll talk to him next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game. Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on all this. And let's see. What do we got here? This is from Z Free. Just gave Aaron Rodgers and Nikola Jokic back-to-back MVPs, and now they're fatigued on Ohtani. I hear you, brother. Cricket Man, I enjoy listening to your head kick in on a possible bet. Weird and cool instant breakdown of pro and con helps to be wired that way. But I analyze everything. Great work. My stake has definitely benefited from VSiN. Thank you, Cricket Man. And then this is for you, Chris. By the way, Chris Felica, ladies and gentlemen, has stopped by in studio. You may know him as The Bear from ESPN's College Game Day, Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast, and of course, Daily Wager. This is from AJ Fiore. He says, hey, Gil, will Chris be taking the Gilmobile for a ride for a ride to the Arizona border today after the show? That's excellent memory.
Can I borrow it? I'm free until I got to do Matt Heumann's show this afternoon, and then I have Daily Wager later tonight. So I got a couple hours to live bet some Cincinnati tennis.
You're not going to believe me when I say this.
You want to go?
But it's in the shop.
No.
Yeah. You know how long it's been in the shop?
A month.
Dude. First of all, I get banged up, right? I'm at a red light. Someone hits us from behind. For 2 months, I'm driving it around banged up. Luckily, I was this fortunate that I could still go. And now a month, I still don't have it back. Well, we found something else. It's like supply chain hell.
Of course, yeah. It's understandable.
So I'd love to give you the car, but yeah.
Maybe we'll head over to McCarran and get a nice little Avis or Hertz or National.
Oh, head on over?
And we'll live bet some tennis.
Hmm. Speaking of tennis,
yes.
You bet some U.S. Open?
I did, yeah. I played Yannick Sinner 14-1 to win the men's just because.
Did you?
It was funny. I was talking with someone about obviously the draw hasn't come out, and I was thinking about, like, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. And he was like, I think Sinner should be second choice behind Medvedev because we don't know if Nadal's healthy. Alcaraz, his game right now, and Sinner just destroyed him. Was it over at UMAG? Is that where beat him? And he's like, I think Sinner should be second choice. So I got him at 14-1. Took a flyer as well on the women's side on Quinwen Zhang. And she's 80-1. Look,
so
Emma Raducanu won the thing last year as a qualifier.
Yes.
And we've had this conversation too. Who do you trust on the women's side other than Iga? Nobody. And even, she's in a slump. She can't keep that 37 match win streak level up the entire year.
It's so funny when she had the streak broken. How there are people like, oh yeah, in your face skill. I'm like, really? Did you think this was going to last forever? No, but you just mentioned. Now let me just go back to what Chris just mentioned. So he just made a bet on Xinzhen Zhang on the lady side, young Chinese player who we have bet on to great success actually this year on her. Now, for those who are listening to me talk about my U.S. Open bets on Friday, if you were a keen listener, you know that I have the Iga bet from back the night that Ash Barty retired at 7-1, and I added Beatrice Haddad Maia at 50-1, and I said at that time, I'm like, there's one other player I'm waiting for a number on. And that's who it is.
Wow.
Xinzhen Zhang.
80-1 is where I got her at.
It's, by the way, spelled, just because people are like, wait, how do you spell it? Q-I-N-W-E-N. Last name is Z-H-E-N-G. We've been on her many times. She is spectacular. The question is, she just needs those. Once you get a big win, like the confidence comes. Mm-hmm. I don't know that she has that win quite yet. She did beat Bianca. We bet on her against Bianca last week. And that worked out. By the way, what about Bianca? She's the other one that like you could see it.
You want, I mean, she's won it before and you'd love to see her get back to that level, but it just seems like while physically she appears to be in shape, but she's not like in match shape, I don't think yet. Like,
right.
Something where she just, again, doesn't seem to be getting over the hurdle. And I bet Coco, too, at 12-1. And that's the other one who, like,
Coco's the other one.
This whole thing, I think, was stemmed by a couple last week. I was saying something about along the lines of, like, how is Naomi Osaka second choice?
Right.
Like, what is she? She hasn't played. I think she's losing to Shuang Zhang again today.
I mentioned on Primetime Action last week, who's the other woman out there that I would make a bet on? Coco was the answer. Coco's the answer, 12-1.
We'll see.
It's tough. But it is like we've literally mentioned almost every player that could possibly win. I guess there's Ons and I guess there's Halep, but I'm not betting either of them.
Yeah.
So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about some college football plays you made. You made some alternate season win totals?
They were just conference win total bets. Oh, okay. And unfortunately, I wouldn't get an opportunity to make them here because Chris's numbers are too good.
You know, Bud said that. But Elliott said the same thing. He goes, shout out to the South Point because their numbers are like tight.
Yeah, because basically I paid the extra juice and to get under 1.5 for Duke ACC wins and under 2.5 for a Georgia Tech ACC wins, and they're 1 flat and 2 flat here at South Point. So I paid the extra juice. Like you look at Duke's schedule. They got 1.5 for Duke. Got at Georgia Tech. I mean, can they? They'll probably be about a 10 or 11 point dog at Georgia Tech. Maybe they win that game, but who else are they beating? They're going to beat Brennan Armstrong in Virginia? No. They're going to beat North Carolina? No. They're going to beat Virginia Tech? No. By end of the year, they get Wake Forest and Hartman will be back. Like, I don't see two ACC wins for the Blue Devils there. And then Georgia Tech, I know they've completely revamped their coaching staff and Sim supposedly has taken a step forward. But again, you got to win 3 ACC games. Yeah, basically, you're saying you need to beat Duke and Virginia at home in that 2-week stretch, and then you've got to find a win either at Florida State or Virginia Tech, because that's it. So
I'm just looking at their schedule, and this is with them not having to play Clemson, Florida State, or NC State, right?
So they don't get the good end of the scheduling. Well, they still can't get it.
I know this has like only been going on for a few years, but have you found that your success doing conference season win totals is better than full season?
Yeah, I found that last year. I found I did really well with the conference win totals, and
just because it's more easy.
Yeah,
to put
because
your
you eliminate.
Yeah,
it's like you throw away a third of the season on the non-conference where you can get an upset. Like Northern Illinois was a perfect example of that last year. I played them under the season win total last year, and they pulled a couple of upsets, and I was done. Whereas, like the Texas season conference win total, I think they were 5 in the Big 12. That went under easily.
It also gets rid of that, you know, that Oregon Auburn season opener, right? For those two teams,
exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I really like the cut because you can just focus on kind of what you know, like with like Vandy's another great example. Like, is Vandy is a team that I would actually, if you can find two. Like for a regular season win total, I'd play over just because they should manage to win the first two regular seasons. I think they have Elon in Hawaii, and then they got a game against Northern Illinois. Maybe they can get the third win there, but do you trust them to win an SEC game? I don't.
No, there'll be dogs in every single one of them. Every single one of them, right? Yeah, I would imagine.
I would think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, their schedules. It's Vandy. Were those the two, Vandy and Duke? Were those the two?
Duke and Georgia Tech. Those were the two that I played so far.
Okay, Duke and Georgia Tech. Then you've played those
under.
All right, and so you, and also there was one other sport we wanted to mention too, right?
I think the National League Rookie of the Year vote pricing is like we talked about the Ohtani and Dylan Cease pricing in the previous segment there. I don't understand why Strider. I mean, you could make a case obviously for both Strider and Harris. Is just going to be depending on what you prefer in the way you vote. But Michael Harris has a higher slugging percentage in OPS than Matt Olson. The way he plays defense is fantastic. And again,
508 sluggo, 838 OPS.
And I don't – his defense that he adds, when he came into the lineup, youngest player in the major leagues, they needed him at the time, and he's performed probably better than they ever could have imagined. I just think this might be a thing, too, with – voters and the way they vote and position players being able to do more than pitchers. Again, this is nothing that I can prove. This is nothing either as well that may or may not happen, but do you maybe get a sense that the Braves might skip Strider through maybe once or twice.
Could happen.
In the rotation down the stretch, knowing the rightfully so that they're better off saving him for the postseason, for the playoffs, when they're going to need him more as opposed to now, because he's never pitched, what, more than 140 innings, I think it is, in a year. So, again, those are the things I'm just throwing out there. But I was surprised to see, I think, what, Strider, like, minus 145 and Harris still around plus 165. So I've got a lot of – I got Harris as good as 18-1, and I know a lot of people have better numbers, but it's just something I'm pretty kind of interested in as well.
Coin flip at DraftKings now between those two guys.
That's good.
You have 18-1?
I got 18-1.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. Have you met my friend Jeff Parlay, by the way?
I have. I'm mad at him. He didn't come by Connecticut last week and say hi when he was in the state.
It's a big state, man.
We could have talked about the Jets.
Let's go get a burrito or something right now. Let's do that.
Rise and shine, people.
Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.